Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So this is the earliest I can remember hurricane season ending. It usually starts June 1st. Well, now it's over on June 8th. The Lightning, of course, they went 2-1 over Carolina. It was those hurricanes that are done. And they win that series 4-1. They wait for the winner of the Boston-New York Islanders series to be in the Stanley. They're in the Stanley Cup semifinal again. And it was a great effort, especially from the fourth line. You had Braden Point scoring on the power play. And then Ross Colton, who could have had a couple goals. He had a wrister to put it away in the third. So, Steve, you said this before we came on. Fifth time in 7 years they've made it to the Final Four?
Fifth time in 7 years that they've made the Final Four, starting with the Stanley Cup loss to the Blackhawks back in 2015.
Okay.
Then in 16, they lost to the Penguins in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final.
Right.
Then in the next year, they didn't make the playoffs. They missed it by 1 point. They had a bad start to the season. Got red hot in the second half and
almost got there, yeah.
Almost got there. Then the next season, they lose to the Capitals in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
I was there for that. They lost Game 6 and 7 and didn't score.
Yeah, both of the, against the Penguins and the Capitals, they had 3-2 series lead.
Right, right.
Then the next year, they win 62 games, have an incredible season, and get swept out by the Blue Jackets.
That one stung.
It did. Yeah. And then, of course, last year, they get to the bubble. They win it all.
Right.
And now the year after the bubble, they are back in the – what's now – there's no Eastern Conference Final this year because of the rearranged divisions because of COVID and travel and all that. So it's officially called the Stanley Cup playoff semifinal round or the semifinals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So – but they are in that for the fifth time in the last 7 years and the sixth time in the 11 seasons that Jeff Vinnick has owned the team. And before Jeff Vinnick owned the team, they had made the semifinals once.
Not a coincidence. I mean, Vinnick is a great owner. He hires the right people. That's obvious. And they've gotten the right players and the right coach. So it all kind of starts there. Maybe not a surprise, but look, this guy knows how to rise to the occasion. He knows how to put the foot on the – or the skate on the throat, as they say. Third straight shutout in a series clinching game for one Andrei Vasilevskiy, who stopped, I think, what, 29 shots?
Something like that. And he was fantastic.
Yeah.
Granted, the Lightning's you know, kudos to the Lightning defense in front of him, too. But first of all, Vazzy was, as usual, fantastic. He had a tremendous save on Vincent Trocheck and a few others as well. But we talked about in Game 4 how the Lightning had the lead going into the third period and then allowed two shots the whole period until they got to 6-on-5 play, and then it was, what, four more shots. So six shots in the third period as Carolina's trying to avoid going down 3-1. So the Lightning have a 1-0 lead going into the third period on Tuesday night. They give up four early shots right away. I mean, Carolina came out flying the beginning of the third.
Sure.
They got four quick shots on goal. The rest of the period, as they're down 1-0 and then 2-0, including the empty net time, four more shots. They gave up eight shots. The Lightning's forecheck was relentless in the third period. After those first couple minutes when Carolina got some shots, they were relentless. And, you know, Carolina couldn't get the puck up the ice to try to score as they're trying to stave off elimination, the most desperate time you can have. You're down in the third period of an elimination game. And the Lightning's forecheck, you know, when this team wants to lock it down, and there's a reason that they went 26-0 in the regular season when leading after two periods, and they're whatever they are in the playoffs, you know, 7-1, 6-1, whatever it is, leading after two periods in the playoffs, is when they want to lock it down. I mean, it helps to have the best goalie in the world behind you, but when they get that forecheck rolling and going, you can't get down the ice on them. They are relentless, and they were rolling four lines tonight. Tyler Johnson was flying down around the ice. Mm-hmm. Pat Maroon had a great game. Ross Colton, Yanni Gord, of course, always does. Braden Point, the goal he scored was unreal on the power play. Mm-hmm. Completely deked Nedeljkovic out.
Right.
It was a phenomenal effort by the team. And now they get to get some rest a little bit. Now we'll see, you know, if you really want the Lightning to get rest, root for Boston tonight, which would force a game 7 on Friday night between those two teams, which means the earliest the playoff series would start would be Sunday for the Lightning. If New York wins tonight, it could start Friday, Saturday, Sunday, something like that. So,
you know, the team that they so far that they've had the most trouble with was Florida, not Carolina. And yet, I haven't watched a lot of the Islanders or the Bruins series, but I'm just here to tell you, it just feels like no one's going to stop the Lightning from getting back to the at least the Stanley Cup final. I know both those teams are capable. I know you don't just assume things in playoff hockey. Anything can and does happen. Sure, all of that makes sense to me. But barring some kind of injury, barring anything happening to Vasilevsky or maybe Kucherov, something unforeseen, they're right now the best hockey team in the NHL, and they've got the best goaltender and one of the best players in the world, maybe two of the best players in the world, maybe three of the best players in the world, and they're all playing well, and I just don't see anybody slowing them down. I mean, I guess it could happen, but boy, it just doesn't. It seems like their focus, their experience, like you mentioned, when you know they had a 1-0 lead that basically they were choking out their opponents with, and probably could have won that game 1-0 if they needed to. And so, it's just a feel thing. You know, everything's kind of jumbled because you don't have the divisions and you know and so forth and so on, and they only played a certain number of teams this year. And I don't know what would happen if they get to the Stanley Cup final and it's Colorado, you know, or Las Vegas. I really don't know. I know Colorado's very, very good. If Las Vegas beats them, they're going to be very, very good. But they're going to get there, and I don't think anything's going to stop them. They just don't look like that team to me.
Well, a couple things. I think Vegas and Colorado are really good. And I think, you know, Vegas particularly has a lot of postseason experience. They've played a lot of postseason games for a expansion franchise 4 years ago.
Right.
So that course played a lot, too. Look, I think the Lightning's experience in these first two series have shown. You know, take, for instance, tonight. Carolina, what's the one thing that we've said all along? You can't put the Lightning on the power play.
Right.
Hawk and Paw took a very bad penalty against Pat Maroon, and that's the one that Braden Point scored on to give the Lightning a 1-0 lead. It was a bad interference penalty, an unnecessary penalty, something you don't need to do in that situation. It wasn't like you're stopping a breakaway to take a penalty or even an inadvertent, you know, your stick gets up, you know, and hits somebody you didn't mean to. This was an interference penalty you didn't need to take. And the Lightning then takes a 1-0 lead. I mean, that's experience in playoffs. I think you saw even in the Florida series too in Carolina is both those teams are extremely talented. They're well coached. They have good players. They have some star players. They didn't have the experience. I mean, you know, Steven Stamkos talked about the playoffs is we know how to turn it on. And what you saw in the regular season isn't what they're doing in the playoffs. Now, part of that is Nikita Kucherov's back. But the other part they went through the regular season knowing we're not trying to set records. We don't need to win 62 games. And granted, they didn't play 82 this year. But we're going to get in the playoffs. They got off to a hot start. They coasted part of the way down the stretch. They had some injuries they had to deal with. But, you know, it was all about getting ready for the playoffs, period. You know, much like, you know, the year before and it got interrupted by, you know, COVID and that. But, you know, as Tom Jones used to talk about all the time, you know, wake me up in January or, you know, when it's playoff time after, you know, the season they had the year before is this team. It's all about getting ready for the playoffs. It doesn't matter how you play in the regular season. Just get there. They didn't care. They didn't win the division. They took the third seed. They were fine with that. We'll go on the road and win. It doesn't matter. That's what experience in this group's been together. I mean, you know, Nikita Kucherov's had 100 playoff games. Killorn, I mean, all these guys have 100 playoff games. Think of the teams that haven't had 100 playoff games, you know, this century in the NHL. I mean, and this is just core in just the last 7 to 8 years that, you know, these players are getting up there and how many playoff games they've seen and done everything. And so are they one of the favorites? Yes. Are they the best team in hockey? I don't know. I mean, I think Vegas and Colorado are extremely good. And they're playing in the second round, so one of those is going to be out after this round.
Right.
And they're going, as we're taping this, they're going to overtime in game 5. The series is tied 2-2. Boston and New York. Look, we know the challenge. I mean, Boston has a tremendous top line. probably still the best line in hockey. And if you're going to go, if you're going to take a lot of penalties, they're going to make you pay. Now, if you can neutralize that line, you can really slow them down. But with Taylor Hall now, they have a second line that can actually score. So it adds a new challenge that the Lightning haven't faced against the Boston team yet. Mm-hmm. And the Islanders are very sound structurally, defensively, that it can be tough and frustrating sometimes to play against them. Now, you'd expect the Lightning's experience won't let that fluster them. But and they have Semyon Varlamov has had a great postseason so far for the Islanders. Tuukka Rask is hurt for Boston. If he doesn't go or can't play, then you know then I really like your chances against Boston. But Boston and New York are two very good teams, and we and the Lightning have seen them in the last few seasons in the postseason.
Right.
So you kind of have a feel for the team itself. I mean, there's always changes, but you know, to sit there and just say that no one's going to stop the Lightning, one in hockey, a hot goalie can stop you. You know, Varlamov.
Well, I mean, listen, my mortgage isn't what it used to be, but I'm not betting it against, for the Lightning. I mean, I know anything can happen in sports. It's just a feel thing, man. Mm-hmm. It's just watching this group play. And even with some of the young guys that they bring up, the Ross Coltons and that, I mean, every piece seems to fit, right? Mm-hmm. And they're getting better even as the playoffs are going along. You have to remember Kucherov missed the whole season. We forget. I mean, it's so easy to watch him play right now and forget that this is a guy who had surgery on his hip and could not play. Couldn't play until the postseason. And, you know, after a couple games, weeks, series, you're like, that's Nikita Kucherov. No, like this is a huge get for them. This was an enormous break, a nice bounce. Stamkos coming back and for all the world looking like he's not struggling at all with whatever it was that knocked him out of the last month or so of the season. And Vasilevskiy, of course, you always have a chance with that guy, and I think a bunch of other guys are playing well too. It's just winning time. This is not going to surprise them, none of it, that they beat Florida or that they won in five games over Carolina. And they're not going to be surprised and or intimidated by, either the Islanders or the Bruins. And I think they know they're better. If they play their game, I think they know they're better. But mm-hmm. could they lose? Sure. That's why you play the games. I get all of it. And I would think that their biggest obstacle to repeating, assuming that I'm right and they get out of this semifinal, is just going to be there could be better teams, in the West. I mean, Colorado may just be better or may get hot or whatever. You just don't know. And the Knights as well. So, to me, that's going to be the test. I really do believe they're going to win this series, whoever they play. The rest is going to do them a ton mm-hmm. of good. So, you know what? You can't not like everything they're doing at this point.
Yes.
They could have come back to Florida and Tampa and played another game, leading 3-2, and this series could have gone, the extra couple days. But they wanted to end it, and they wanted the rest, and they earned it. And now they can sit back and watch these other two teams beat the hell out of each other.
Well, and it's key, too. If you remember in the bubble last season, their first two series went five games and five games.
Right.
To only play 10 games through your first two rounds. This year, it's 6-5, so it's 11. That's still very good.
Still
you remember
really good.
Back in 2015 when the Lightning went to the Stanley Cup Final and lost to the Blackhawks, they played seven games, I believe, in the first round, 6-7-6.
Mm.
They played 26 out of a possible 28 playoff games.
Right.
That wears on you. To only play 11 through your first two series is good.
Right.
For instance, take Vegas. They had to go seven games against Minnesota their first round.
Right.
They're going to go at least six against Colorado, assuming they advance.
Right.
So they're going to have to play at least 13 if they don't go to game seven against Colorado. That wears on a team. And look, the Lightning seem to be in pretty good health-wise. But, there's things nagging every guy.
Oh, they're all beat up.
The hockey players, it's amazing what they come back from injury from and how quick. But,
yeah,
that they've got injuries in this, that, and the other and things that are bothering them. Well, every team does. And so the more rest you get, the less games you play, the less wear and tear on you. It's key. I mean, that's important and critical. Just the rest and the less games, the less chance to get hurt. So,
full disclosure, I will admit that I did not get to see much at all. Saw the first period. Didn't get to see much of all of the Lightning game. Have seen the highlights. Certainly I know what happened. But that was because I was visiting my good friend.
Well, hold on. Before we go there, one thing to be concerned about with the Lightning.
Yes.
Andre Palat got called for a check to the head.
He's looking to be a suspended player, right?
Minimum, I think he'll be fined. Could be suspended a game. I wouldn't think it'd be more than a game.
Yeah.
There was not intent there. It was not, and he doesn't have a history of that kind of stuff. But it was a you know, he got his shoulder into the head.
Right.
It was a bad penalty, a bad play. Mm-hmm. You know, you could see him suspended for a game or two to start the next round. So
yeah, that's
something,
not good.
Something to be worried about for Lightning fans is, you know, that's your top line there. So, you right. know, then who are you putting up there with Cooch and Point, and how does that affect other lines and such? You know, I would assume Matthew Joseph would come in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but who you move around, where does Tyler Johnson move up there, or does Cirelli go there and Tyler goes to Cirelli's spot, or, you know, how they move it around, we'll see if that happens. And you know, but that is a possibility. That was not a very good hit, and, you know, he probably faces at least a game suspension. Yeah, if it was regular season, he might got more, but for the playoffs, in the semifinal round, they'll probably say one and done.
Yeah, but most.
Hopefully he isn't suspended. We'll see what the Department of Player Safety says about that, but that is a possibility. They do look at every hit to the head, illegal check to the head like that. So
right. Not a history with it, but, yeah, it's certainly something to be concerned with. As I was saying, the reason I didn't get to watch the whole game was I was at a comedy club, not doing comedy. That's not my thing. But I was watching my good friend Frank Caliendo, who was in town.
Who?
And you know who Frank is.
I know all his voices. Listen, I don't know who Frank is.
Yeah, well, I mean, his voice, nothing wrong with his voice. But it was interesting because I found out he was going to be in town. I want to go see him because it literally was right down the street from where I live up here in northern Tampa. And so I was just trying to figure out what his schedule was. If there's a restaurant nearby that I know very well, know the owners very well. And so I was just going to tell him that you don't know if you know the lay of the land, but you're just a block or two away. If after your set you want to get a bite to eat or whatever. And Frank was one of those guys, and you know this, Steve, because you talked to him a long time back in the radio days with Tom and I. In the morning, all the comedians kind of come through there, right, when they're doing the local comedy clubs. A lot of times they'll roll in, and it's, you know, we had a morning show. So, I mean, a lot of times they're coming from a red eye out west or someplace, and mm-hmm. they're very sleepy-eyed. And there's nothing worse than, you know, a comic walking in to promote, you know, his show later that day or that night at some comedy club. And it's sort of like, it's like, okay, made me laugh, clown. You know, like they can't always be on. I remember there were some dour interviews. I think, was it John Lovitz, used the old Saturday Night Live guy? He was mm-hmm. one that was a tough interview. But you just got to understand that, you know, they're human beings too, and they're not on stage. They're promoting their stage work or what they do. Frank is always Frank. I mean, Frank is just one of the most humble guys in the world. You've talked to him before.
He's one of the most down-to-earth. Like,
yeah.
A lot of comedians are a little... a lot of them are introverted. A lot of them are shy. A lot of them
they have some idiosyncrasies mm-hmm. and some, things like that, some quirks.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
A lot of people. I mean, that's the one thing about, you know, whether it's Hollywood stars or television stars or even a lot of radio personalities and comedians and things. People that put themselves out on a stage generally have some quirks or idiosyncrasies to them. That are unlike other people, which is why they're willing to put themselves out on a stage and mm-hmm. potentially get cheered or booed right off of it too. So I don't want to say it's not a normal person that does that, but there are some quirks that come with that for a lot of those types of people that decide they want to put their whole life out on a stage and perform for people. But Frank is one who's, I don't know if he doesn't have any, but he definitely is more just regular guy as you're sitting there talking to him, you know, off the air than a lot of them are.
He's as humble as he can be, and that's a good way of putting it. He's like your next door neighbor. I mean, you know, he coaches youth football, lives out in Arizona, all of that, and easy to converse with. And so when I knew he was going to be in town, like I said, I contacted him. We started trading text messages and whatnot, and I had tickets. I went and saw him. He killed it. He was phenomenal. He tried some different things. He actually did sort of two sets within one. He went up and did about 15 minutes and tried some things, and he came back for his more of what you would expect from Frank's act with all the impressions and whatnot. But it was great to see him. Place was packed. Everybody had a good time. It was a really good audience. He was fantastic. There were other good comedians as well on the night. But yeah, man, he was, you know, and he knows where he's at, right? He's in Tampa. So, you know, so much of what he does or has done in the past is you know, obviously John Gruden. And then he also can do a pretty damn good Bruce Arians, because him and Steve Keim, the general manager of the Cardinals, is a good friend of his. I think he might coach his kids, Keim's kids, in flag football or youth football, whatever it is. So, you know, he's just spot on with his Arians. So he came back after his first set and did some of more of like his normal act. But it's just always good to hear him. I mean, I do Gruden, but I am more like doing Frank doing Gruden, because no one captures his face. The face is his ability to morph into character facially, especially with John and whether it's Al Pacino or Robert De Niro, like Donald Trump, he becomes them facially. It's hysterical. And you know, he was able to do that with Gruden. His Gruden story he's told many times. And he's told the Madden story too, where John Madden really didn't get it until he saw him at a Super Bowl with his grandkids, and he made the grandkids laugh, and then, you know, he was accepting of it. But with Gruden, he said, you know, I went from Fox to ESPN. Fox was like, insult anybody you want, do whoever you want, you know, make fun of Terry, not funny, and all that. And then when he went to ESPN, they were like, yeah, be very careful. Like, what exactly were you going to do? You know, he said it was a lot more sort of walking on eggshells a little bit, because they didn't want to offend anybody, which I mean, if you think Frank's, you know, impressions of you are offensive, so be it, but he's very clean. He's not political in any way, and he's just really funny. And so when he met John Gruden for the first time, I'm trying to think where he said he was. Anyway, it was set up by ESPN, and Gruden, he had already done Gruden a number of times for ESPN, and he finally met John, and he didn't know what John would think about it, you know. And he said that, you know, Gruden met him, and he was like, so you're the guy that does me, huh? So Frank immediately went into character, and you know, when you watch Frank do John, you swear you're looking at John, because he's got his mannerisms, he's got his face down perfect. He goes, and I just had fun. I'd look some stuff up about it. He says, yeah, I'm that guy. He goes, we got a lot in common. He goes, really? He goes, what do we got in common? He goes, I'm from Sandusky, Ohio, too, man. And then Gruden goes, you're blowing my mind right now, man. So that was the first time they met. So. But listen, he put on a tremendous show. If you have a chance to go out there to Side Splitters up here in Carrollwood or North Tampa, do it. I think he's got two shows tonight, one at 7:30 and one at around 9 or so. And the thing about Frank is, and who does this, right, a star of his caliber, after the show he stood outside, and for anybody that wanted, he pose for pictures with the entire audience, whoever wanted to stand there and get a picture with Frank. I mean, just, you know, just that kind of guy. So fun to see him.
Before we move on, Vegas just beat Colorado. They've won three straight in that series for a 3-2 series lead. 50 seconds into OT.
That's crazy, man.
I think it was,
man.
Mark Stone, I think, got it.
That's crazy. They're really good. Look, yep. They're really good. Whoever comes out of that you know, that series is going to have a really good shot, man.
I didn't see a lot of this game, but Vegas has outplayed Colorado for much of the last three games in this series, games 2, 3, and 4. They didn't win game 2 because Colorado had a really good first period, but now have won three straight, go back to Vegas for game 6 on Thursday night. So
incredible. If Vegas makes it, that'll just be incredible.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We got baseball, of course, both Major League and College Baseball to tell you about. First of all, the Rays beat the Nationals 3-1. Tyler Glasnow was dealing once again.
Two extra days rest did him really good.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he was dominant again.
And they needed it because they didn't score a lot of runs in this game. So
No. It was a 3-1 game. And listen, I don't know. There's a lot of good pitchers in the American League. And some may well wind up with, you know, better win-loss records or maybe even ERA. But if Tyler Glasnow's not at least in the conversation, and I mean 1, 2, or 3 in the Cy Young voting, I'd be shocked. If he continues what he's doing now and carries that through the entire season, I mean, he's just been lights out. And when he's on, he is really on. It's been fun to watch him pitch. And again, you know, you just keep asking yourself, how long can the Rays stay this hot? I mean, they've been white hot for so long, you know. But they don't score a lot of runs sometimes. They play in a lot of close games. They just know how to finish them. And the pitching has just been outstanding. The pitching has been great this year.
Well, it's about run prevention, not run accumulation.
Well, accumulation, I know. Well, they don't accumulate very much. But they've done enough. And no.
Mike Brasso got the game-winning RBI tonight. It wasn't a very hard-struck ball, but he got a double and knocked in the second run of the game. So he had been struggling. You know, I was kind of watching it while producing the Lightning game, and I was like, why aren't they pinch-hitting Brasso? He had the right-hander up.
Right.
And he was 0-for-2 that night. But he came through and got the double and knocked in the game-winning run. So.
Sweet.
You know, they get help from all over the lineup, up and down that lineup. It's a different person every night, which is part of the reason for their success. It's not, you know, one or two guys trying to carry the load. It's, you know, every night it can be somebody different, which is what makes it work.
No doubt. So they'll continue that series with the Nationals. Meanwhile, a little bit of college baseball to talk about. Remember last week? Well, first of all, let's just say congratulations to the University of South Florida Bulls. My goodness. First time ever in the Super Regional. They're going to Austin.
But 14 of the last 20 games they've won?
I mean, what a turnaround. They were under 500 going into the conference tournament. They had to win it, okay, as a low seed. They had to go through that and win it in order to get into the college baseball playoffs. And then look what they've done since they've been here. And, you know, first time in a regional final. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I don't know if they get, you know, all the way to the College World Series, but in the region they were in, they knocked off both Florida and Miami. That's not, in any year, that's not easy to do.
And a good South Alabama team.
And a really good South Alabama team that took them to an elimination game until winner-take-all game because they had won the previous night in a rain-delayed game before that. So, yeah, man, what a year for Champa Bay. It's just part of Champa Bay, right? USF Baseball. And then me and you talked about my neighbor. That's right. The great Tim Elko, who lives down the street from me, and I didn't discover this until recently, plays at Ole Miss, you know, was going to be an All-America player, you know, certainly could have come out in the draft had they had one more than a few rounds a year ago, comes back, has an unbelievable month of March, hits like 9 or 10 home runs, then tears his ACL, and everyone's like, season's over. Season is over. How do you come back from a torn ACL? You're a baseball player. Well, he did. He didn't have surgery yet. That'll come at the end of the season. But he's been so productive that and swinging such a hot bat. He had a grand slam to open the region against, I think it was Southwest Missouri or one of those Missouri teams. And then he came back and, you know, in the final game, the elimination game, basically the championship game of this particular region to get to the Super Region, he had a grand slam. It was the second of the tournament and then another home run. I mean, the guy is just absolutely raking, and he's on one leg. So it's a good thing he hits it over the fence. He can't run. But what a story, and what a job by Tim Elko and this Ole Miss Rebel team.
That's what you love about sports, man. You never can predict that stuff.
Incredible, man.
Two grand slams in a regional.
Yeah.
And can't run.
Can't run. Can't run to first. I mean, you know, he kind of hobbles down there, and he does. You know, he clearly is something's wrong. He's not in a tremendous amount of pain, or so he says. But yeah, man, just absolutely raking. It's incredible.
I hope you got him to autograph a ball years ago when you saw him playing catch so that you had the first
autograph. I didn't, but I might go to his old man's house and say, hey, has he signed anything besides a check in the last few years? Because I want one. I want one of those Ole Miss hats, even though they beat my Arkansas State Red Wolves this year. I still would love to have one. I remember playing against Ole Miss. That stadium is a lot smaller now. I swear to God, they moved the fences in, or I might have hit a ton of home runs in a series against them. It's like 355 to the power alleys in left field. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, 355. I mean, you know, that's a pop-up to deep shortstop in most ballparks. It's really close, and the ball just flies out of there. I don't know what it's the air, the wind currents, or what. It's like right field at Yankee Stadium, man. You get the ball up in the air, and it's just going to go and go and go. So there was a ton of home runs hit, even by Southern Mississippi in the final game. And now they got to go to Tucson, and they're going to play the University of Arizona in a super region to see if they can go to the College World Series. It's just an unbelievable story. Let's see. What else we got?
Minicamp.
Oh, yeah. That one. That thing. All right. So here's what I discovered in going out to the Bucks mandatory minicamp on Tuesday. Why the hell they have these things? I mean, I suppose there's a team, maybe with a new head coach, maybe one that's coming off a bad season that may want to assemble and get things started a little bit early. But I'm here to tell you, I was watching this full squad workout of the Bucks on Tuesday, and they could go out there right now and kick Dallas's butt. I'm convinced of it. That's how the precision that they operated on, especially on offense against their good defense. I mean, it was good on good, was incredible. Like Tom Brady and those guys were just in sync. It just lent more, you know, evidence to the belief by a lot of players, you know, that we don't need all this. You know, we don't need to be there in OTAs and all these practices. But everybody was there and accounted for. There were a few guys not working, and Ndamukong Suh was out. Who else do we have? Jalen Darden had tweaked a hamstring or something like that. So he was out. O.J. Howard's not working yet. So there were a number of guys, you know, Jordan Whitehead, that are still on the mend. But boy, for the ones that were there, and B.A. split them in two fields. You had Brady and Blaine Gabbert on one field with his players, and then on the other field you had Kyle Trask and Ryan Griffin. But they both got a ton of work, a ton of reps. They finished about the same time on the practice fields, and they'll be back at it today. And today, after practice, we'll have an opportunity to talk to Tom Brady for the first time, really, since he won the Super Bowl, since he tried to throw the trophy in Hillsborough River. So I have a chance to talk to him, and then they're going to wrap it up on Wednesday. So, yeah, exciting mini camp. You can't glean a lot from it. Like I said, there's no contact, so it's mostly basketball and grass. But I'm telling you, as sharp as Brady looked, the knee had a brace on it, but he did not look the worst for whatever procedures he had. This is going to be, you know, a very, very interesting year again with the Bucks, and you know, it all kind of starts. This is like this is the unofficial official start of the next year, right, of the 2021 season. Now they still have one more commitment to do in July when they get their rings, which is a big night, and you still celebrate last year. But what Bruce Arians told them, you know, before they went out on the practice field was, you know, we haven't done anything. I mean, he's been consistent with that. He's like, you may have a starting job now, but rest assured, you know, if somebody's better, we're going to play him. So, you know, there's just a lot.
I think Tom Brady's safe.
Yeah, I think he's okay. By the way, he's so much better. I'm telling you, he's so much better this year. He's not using the wristband. The decisions are quicker. He's accurate as hell. He had that sleeve on his knee, but it wasn't, you know, he wasn't mobile to begin with, so it's not like he's running around in the pocket. You know, Bruce Arians wanted him to do more coaching than playing, but, you know, his doctors and everybody convinced Arians, no, he's okay. And all Arians wanted to do was pull him out, you know, before they got heavy in the blitz period in case somebody, some rookie or somebody came off the edge and, you know, forgot who was the franchise was back there. But aside from that, he did everything and looked good doing everything. So I think Brady's ready to go, and certainly the whole team will be ready to go. When this is over on Wednesday, then they'll take a break, and they'll come back, as I said, July 24th. They get their rings. July 28th, I want to say, they report to training camp, first team to do so, with that, you know, game kicking off on a Thursday night instead of a Sunday night, first game of the NFL season. You know, so that's something to look forward to. But I'm just telling you, man, if these guys will be diligent in their Zoom meetings or whatever it is they're doing with their position coaches, I just don't see a huge need, at least on this football team, with all the returning starters to have to go out there and do stuff. They look really, really, really good. And it was actually a fun practice to watch, which I don't usually say that about practice because most of them are just, you know, well, practice, not
we're
the
talking
game.
About
not
practice.
What are we talking about? Not the game I love, man. We're talking about practice. But, yeah, that's what we had to watch, so we did. So the rest of the week we've got the Lightning.
Tommy
and Tommy
Jones.
Tom Jones is going to join us for a couple of podcasts.
Yeah, he'll be here tomorrow for the show.
Perfect. Well, TJ's always good. We can discuss everything with him, the Lightning, the Bucks, the Rays, obviously, and whatever else he's got going on his newsletter on pointer.org, getting some love from you listeners out there for Tom Jones, who they obviously love on this podcast, as do we. So, yeah, we still got a number of days here left in the week. Lightning are on to the next round, the semifinal round, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, and we'll see whether it'll be New York Islanders or the Boston Bruins. That'll be something to look forward to, and we're thinking maybe it'll be as late as Sunday night before that next series begins, if that previous series goes seven games. So the days off are going to be great for them. And they'll be great for us, too, because maybe we won't have so many late nights, which is good. So I'm not going to lie to you about that. Anyway, for Steve Versnick, thanks for listening. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.